All right. Hey, everyone. Good to see you. It's good to be here. And it's really exciting to talk on Romans chapter 12. Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Maybe Romans chapter 12 another time. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we've entitled it The Living Body. And we're going to break up our talk this morning into three sections. We're going to look at verses 1 to 3 first. So I encourage you to grab your Bible and you can read along with us, because those first 11 verses we haven't read this morning. So I encourage you to grab your Bible. We're going to read the first three verses, or we're going to go through the first three verses and talk about how God communicates with us. And then we're going to go on to verses 4 to 11 and talk about how God has distributed gifts to us. And then finally, we're going to go on to that passage that Tim just read out, how God works through us in the body. And it's a wonderful passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It gives us a wonderful overview of the spiritual gifts. But you will notice as we read that Paul doesn't go into any detail on those spiritual gifts, does he? He doesn't talk about each or any of those in any detail in any way whatsoever. More, it's just an overview. And that's what our emphasis is going to be this morning. We're going to go and give an overview of the spiritual gifts rather than going into detail. But before we do that, we're going to come to our head, our King, our God, and we're going to ask for his blessing upon us. Father, it's wonderful to be part of your family, to be part of the body of Jesus. And we ask, Father, humbly that you would open up our hearts, break down this hardness and the stoniness of our hearts. Make it malleable to receive your word this morning, Father. Give us ears to hear. Father, open our eyes to see. So that, Father, we may be changed and receive the good news into our hearts and be changed. Father, may your word just honour you. May our hearts honour you. And Father, may you grow a desire in this body to serve you and to love you and to glorify you. We thank you for this time. Amen. All right, let's get into it. First bit we're going to look at is verses 1 to 3. So grab that, read along in that if you like as we go. Because Paul opens this whole passage that he's about to talk about spiritual gifts, because he starts it by saying, now concerning spiritual gifts. He opens the whole passage with this little bit in verses 1 to 3 where he talks about in their previous lives, they followed after mute idols, and the emphasis being on the mute idols or mute gods. Gods that it was one-way communication in their previous life. You talk to God, but their God, your God, would never respond because he is no God at all. And the implication being, Paul's trying to remind them or to explain to them, God with whom you now commune with is a communicating God. He's not mute. He talks to us. We talk to him, he talks to us. And it, more than that, he's active in each and every single one of us, so that us together are the manifestation of God in this world. And his representation both to one another and to those outside the church. And it's such a wonderful thing. And this is the normal Christian experience, or it ought to be the normal Christian experience, that we talk with God and he talks to us, and that is a regular thing. So just taking a pause for a moment, because I think especially for some of the young believers, maybe talking with God and God talking to us is something that we're still learning. So let me just spend some time there just for a moment and help us to grow in that area. Now, believe that God speaks to us in four ways, and I've outlined them here in the overhead. God speaks to us firstly through the Scriptures, primarily through the Scriptures. God uses His Word. He's definitely kept it, preserved it, written it, inspired it, and handed it down through the centuries for the reason that He wants to communicate truth and to communicate to us. And we only understand God and commune with God as we get to know God and the God of the Bible. So God speaks to us through the Word of God, and sitting in the Word of God on a daily basis is absolutely necessary to your spiritual growth and your spiritual vitality. I can't emphasize that anymore, and I've said it many times. Secondly, God speaks to us as believers through what I've called spirit impressions. Now, maybe a bad term, take it or leave it. But God speaks to us in our spirits. The Holy Spirit lives within us. We are His temple, and He speaks to us in a very real way. And there's an example there from Luke where the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus at His baptism, and then the Holy Spirit led Him into the wilderness. And the Holy Spirit leads us, He guides us, He speaks to us. That's not to be confused with our conscience. And that's an important point, and we've talked about that previously. Your conscience speaks, but we had a conscience before we were believers, right? The conscience is not from God in the sense that that's not the Holy Spirit. And when the conscience speaks, it's not God speaking to us. That's not the Holy Spirit. So be clear about that. And the conscience is often condemning and judges our behaviour according to our knowledge, whereas the Holy Spirit doesn't condemn us. And that's one way to distinguish between the conscience and the Holy Spirit speaking to us. But enough about that. God also speaks to us through providence in our life. And there's an example there from, I did put the example in there, from Acts chapter 16, where the Holy Spirit kept Paul from going into this region or not. And often God will work through circumstances in our life, and He'll speak to us through circumstances, and He'll open and close doors. That's a metaphor we use often in our lives. And Proverbs 3:5-6 is a good verse that sort of speaks along that. God leads and guides and speaks to us through the way He opens up opportunities and things around us in our lives. But most importantly is the last way that God talks to us. And this is why Paul puts this passage, this opening passage, here at the beginning of this discussion about the spiritual gifts, is because God talks to us through the body. He talks to us through the individual members of the church. And that is one way in which God speaks to us. Paul goes on in the rest of this passage, and he lists some of those gifts where God explicitly talks to us. Like, He talks to us through prophecy. He talks to us through exhortation. He talks to us through teaching. He talks to us through words of wisdom and words of knowledge. And they're gifts that God gives the church and the individual members, whereby God Himself speaks through those members to the other members of the church. That's how God speaks to us. And so God's activity in His body via this unique way, this way in which God has gifted the different believers, is a wonderful and extraordinary and amazing participation for each believer in the working of God in this community and through us. God chooses to use us in this manner. This is his choice. He wants to use us and to communicate through us. And that's a wonderful privilege for those that God has gifted in that way to be able to communicate what God is speaking. And again, Paul's differentiating their new experience of life in God from their old experience of the gods that they followed. So practically, what does this mean in our everyday life? Well, it means that we need, as individuals, as members of the body of Christ, to listen to the voices of God as he speaks through those around us in the body of Christ. That's our obligation. And God will speak to us and does speak to us through the members of the body of Christ. But we need to have hearts and ears to listen to what God is saying to us. And secondly to that, God communicates not through perfect vessels, right? This vessel here is somewhat broken and marred and chipped, and it's got a few cracks. And when God speaks through me, sometimes I misinterpret what God wants to say and it comes out wrong. Or I maybe misunderstand what God wants to say, or maybe you misunderstand. And so because of the imperfection of the vessels that deliver the message of God, we need to be careful and discern what is God's message to us, because it's broken. It's not perfect, the deliverance of the message. Is that clear? And so when we're listening, we need to talk to other believers about what we believe God is speaking to us about. So that's how God communicates with the church and communicates to us as individuals through the body and through our lives. But it's really important that we understand that, because it creates or helps us understand how the body works as we go further into these passages. So in verses 4, and we'll move on, verses 4 to 11, Paul goes on to talk about how God distributes the gifts in particular. And I've got here the really important part of verses 4 to 11, I think, are verses 4 to 6. And Matthew Henry explains it this way, and I've put it up on the screen because he says it better than I can say it. He says this: there are diversities, and it's his explanation of verses 4 to 6. There are diversities of gifts, such as revelations, tongues, prophecy, interpretation of tongues, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration or different offices and officers to discharge them, different ordinances and institutions, but the same Lord who appointed all. There are diversities of operations or miraculous powers, but it's the same God that works all in all. And in summary, there are various gifts, administrations, operations, but all proceed from the one God, the one Lord, and the one Spirit. I'm not sure that helps. But what Paul is trying to say here, and it's quite a poetical way in which he's saying it, he's trying to communicate, and this is really important, he's trying to communicate that the body is tremendously diverse. That's it in a nutshell. And yet within that diversity and the administration of that diversity, being the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, there's difference, but there's unity. Just as the Son, the Father and the Spirit are different, they are united in one. And in the body of Christ, there's different gifts given to each and every member here. And the operation, the expression of those gifts, even the same gifts, is quite different and diverse. And then there's many different types of gifts that are given amongst the body, and the way that each of those gifts works out is not the same way. And so the body is incredibly complex and incredibly diverse, and yet it's all within the Godhead, and there's unity there. And that's what Paul's trying to say. He's saying there should be great diversity and yet unity. And that's what he's trying to say at the beginning of this passage, because he goes on and he starts talking about the gifts and the body. So let's have a look at the gifts. We'll come back to that because it's a really important point. Gifts 101, just to give us some really basic stuff about the gifts, because we're all at different levels in our understanding of this. So firstly, every believer has been given a spiritual gift or gifts, okay? Each and every one of us have received a spiritual gift from the Holy Spirit. Everyone. None of you have been left out. Everyone has that. Now, Paul goes on and he lists some of those gifts here, and we've got them on the screen. From verse 11, he lists a whole bunch there, and then you go on into verse 28, he lists a bunch of gifts / offices there. And then if in your own time you want to go and have a look at Romans 12, Ephesians 4, Hebrews and 1 Peter 4, there's some more gifts listed there. However, I don't believe that all the gifts that God imparts to believers are listed in the Bible. I think God is greater than that, and I certainly wouldn't limit him to just what Paul's outlined in the Bible. I'm sure God can do more and does more than that. So these are some of the gifts. Now, as I say, I'm not going to go and talk about each of these at this point in time, but what I want to talk about is the purpose of the gifts next. And in verse 7, if you read verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul goes on and he says this: "Now, to each one," that's each believer, "the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." So Paul describes the gifts as the manifestation of the Spirit. And this is really important because it helps us to understand what the gifts are about. The gifts, the spiritual gifts and those ones listed there that we've seen, they are a revelation or a revealing or a manifestation or an exhibition of the Spirit of God. That's what they are. It's the Holy Spirit working and outworking through the believer. It's not my design or your design. It's God's work. When we exercise the gifts that God has given us, it's the Holy Spirit exhibiting himself, his presence, his power through the believer as they are united with God. It's not our gifting. It's the Spirit who is exhibiting in and through us. These are not our gifts. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit through us, exhibiting in a particular way. And it's important to grasp this, as it's God. Our gifts are God revealing himself through us, working through us, serving through us to this world. And this is how God chooses to manifest and reveal himself, through us and through the Holy Spirit, as he works in cooperation with us. So I hope that sort of just tweaked your view of the gifts just a little, just to help you think a little bit more about what the spiritual gifts are. So the next question is, do we know what gifts we have? Ooh, that's an awkward question. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up and tell me what your gifts are. But let me ask these questions. Do you want to find spiritual fulfillment and purpose in your life? Do you wonder what plans God has for you and how God wants to use you? Do you have a desire to give yourself to God, but you don't quite know how to? Now, I trust 95% of us answer that in the affirmative. But if you don't know your spiritual gifts and where God has gifted you and how the Holy Spirit has gifted you, then I would suggest that in answering and following after those questions, that you start there. That you start in trying to discover and uncover the gifts that God has given you and where he has placed you very specifically in the body of Christ for a purpose. And as we do that, and as you seek that, and as you discover those gifts, you will discover fulfillment, you'll discover God working through you and using you, and you will discover why God has given you those gifts. And if you want to, as I said, if you want to learn more, and if you don't really understand your gifting and where your spiritual gifts are, then I encourage you to learn more. And Tim's put together resources previously 4 years ago when we looked at the spiritual gifts. And I encourage you to grab a copy of those or request a copy of those. They're electronic. And Tim can either send them to you or I can send those to you electronically. I would have printed them, but one of them's 160 pages long, so it's quite a handful. So it's probably better to hand them out electronically. So if you do want to learn more about your spiritual gifts, then ask Tim or myself and we can certainly send you those resources. But we need to, as if we don't understand our gifts and where our giftings are at, then we need to seek after and desire those gifts. And Paul encourages us to desire those gifts in 12:31. So in discovering and uncovering what those spiritual gifts are that God has blessed you and I with, and if you've got questions about that, then I'd encourage you to think about where your passions lie in your service for God. So when you serve God and when you're serving God, what really quickens you and excites you and that you really enjoy? Now, I'm not saying that that's where you're gifted, but I'm saying that's probably a good place to start, okay? Because I think that's a good place to start. And then pray and ask God about where he has gifted you and whether these are areas that God has gifted you in. And then again, as we talked about previously, go and talk to the body. Talk to the body. Talk to your friends. Talk to people who have spiritual understanding, leaders, and ask them, I think maybe my gifting's in this area. But if you get an objective opinion, people will tell you, they'll say, no, actually, I think you're actually good in these areas. And then pray about those and consider those things and allow God to work through those things. And secondly, just don't be anxious about it. As a young person, if you don't know where your gifts are, don't fret about it. It takes a while for these things to come about and to understand them. So just leave them with God and seek them, and God will certainly open those up to you. But don't neglect them. Okay, that's a different thing. Paul encourages to grow from being babes in Christ. Don't neglect the gifts that God's given you, because it's critical. Doesn't matter how insignificant you are, you're not, how insignificant you think you are in this body of believers, you're critical to the body of believers here. And you need to uncover those gifts and use the gifts that God has given you, because the body needs you. There's in 12:31, Paul also talks about desiring the greater gifts or the better gifts, and I suppose this is to those believers who have maybe been along their journey a little bit longer and understand where their spiritual gifts are. Paul says, well, look, seek after the better gifts as well. So from that we understand that God can impart more gifts and that believers can have more than one gift, in fact. For us who are older believers and have been around a little while, seek after more gifts and seek after those gifts which are going to be beneficial to the body, and ask God to do that. Finally, the gifts are for the benefit of the body. They're not for you, right? They're not for you to enjoy, as it were. They're for the benefit of the whole body. Now, I'm going to give you an example. God has given me the gift of teaching. It's something that I've known for many years, and it's a gift that I desired as a young believer when I was in Bible college, and I sought after that, and I looked for opportunities to exercise that gift and to grow in that gift, and I believe God has used me in that area. You'll be the judge of that, right? But over the last few years, I've neglected that gift. You know that because you haven't seen me here until recently. And that was my neglect of the body of Christ. And the body needs, and I ask your forgiveness in that. And I apologise for that. God has given me that gift not for myself. It's given me that gift to build the body up. And you're the body that God has placed me in. And for my neglect of that, the body has been suffered as a result of that. And so the reason I say that is that each of us, and that's very, you can see that, it's very visual, you can see that, but for everybody, every person in this body, when we neglect our gifts and we don't exercise the gifts and take up the opportunities that God gives us to use our gifts, the body will suffer and is weaker because of that. And the body needs each and every single one of us. Finally, in talking about the body, the gifts, are there for God to minister to the community, right? They're there for God to use you. It's not about you, it's about God. And if you're not allowing God to use you in the community and in those that are around you, then those that are around you are going to suffer. Let's move on. Verses 12 to 27, I want us to talk about how God works through us. And we're going to spend some time talking about the body. And we read that passage, right? It's a great passage. Paul's talking about how the body is interconnected interdependent and how each body and part and member is unique. So we're going to break some of that down. We're going to stop in a few areas and we're going to talk about the body and hopefully get a better understanding and picture from that passage. So first of all, God has made the body with different functions and allows each members of the body to develop different gifts as God has distributed them. Without these different functions, the body is weakened. Now, some members of the body may have gifts that I don't agree with. But it's important to remember that we allow God to minister the gifts how he sees fit, not as how I see fit. Remember that it's God who gives the gifts, It's as simple as that. It's God who gives the gifts. Your gifts and each person's gifts are just as important to the body as any other gift in the body. Looking at verse 18, I've put it up there on the screen, Paul says, but in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. It's challenging, isn't it? Because Paul is making very clear here that God is the one who sovereignly places the gifts in the body. And he does that, he builds the body here at Penno and universally and in each community. God builds and places the gifts in this body as he chooses. And some of us may not agree with the gifts that some people say that they have or don't have and the way that they exercise those gifts or don't exercise those gifts. But in reality, a sovereign God places those gifts in this body, not us. And our recognition that this body is God's work, not our work, is recognition and submission to the head, who is Christ. Because the giving of the gifts is a supernatural gift from God. And Paul uses these pictures, doesn't he? You know, if we were all a foot, that would be ridiculous if we were all a hand. And because Paul is trying to say here, and it's getting back to that what we were talking about before, that the body has to be very diverse. It has to be diverse. For it to function properly, it has to be completely diverse. It's got to be different members with many different gifts operating in different ways. And diversity doesn't mean that there's disunity or that there is anarchy. Wiersbe talks about this passage, and I've put it up here for you to have a read because he does it better than me. Wiersbe says this: unity without diversity would produce uniformity, and uniformity tends to produce death. Life is a balance between unity and diversity. This helps explain why some churches and other Christian ministries have weakened and died. There is not sufficient diversity to keep unity from becoming uniformity. Many ministries that began as a protest against dead orthodoxy became dead themselves because in their desire to remain pure and doctrinally sound, they stifled creativity and new ideas. This is really important for us to understand. God desires, in fact, it's critical that the body is diverse and that the body encourages and allows diversity, both in the gifts and the expression of those gifts by each and every member in the body. Paul teaches this because without diversity, you would have a body that is dysfunctional. Unity is accepting our differences because we love Jesus and he wants us to work together. He doesn't want us to think and act and believe the same. We need to be diverse in our thinking and acting and believing. Warren Wiersbe goes on, he says, however, if diversity is not kept under control, it could destroy unity, and this is true, and you'll have anarchy. But, he says, as we move on, we get into 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where we understand that in coming to maturity, love is the thing that balances the tension that arises between unity and diversity. So as we go on and as we live, and we've talked about this as we've talked through Corinthians before, right? there needs to be great diversity, but it's to be balanced by our love for one another and our self-sacrificial giving of ourselves to one another. And when we do that, it overcomes the differences and allows the differences and allows us all to express differently. So Paul's picture of the body it's a perfect example of unity, isn't it? Every member of our body, just look at it, it is so completely different. Our nose and our eye, they're all our hands. Our hands, you know, you look at our hands, they look exactly the same, but they're not, are they? We prefer, like I prefer my right, some of us prefer our left. They're actually not the same, they're mirrors of one another. And they've got different fingerprints. So even the things that look the same are different. And the body is perfect. And none of us are the same. None of us should be the same. None of us should express in the same way. God wants and desires diversity in the body. Not only are we all uniquely and wonderfully made by God, but God has uniquely gifted every single individual in this body here with gifts and different combinations of gifts. Even those with the same gifts, the way they express those gifts is different. And God desires that. God wants that because that enables the body to grow and to meet the needs of both the body and those that are outside. And so when we look at the picture of the body, Paul talks about the body as being interdependent as well, doesn't he? That concept of interdependence. And the body itself cannot survive without the other members. So Paul uses many examples as he goes through this passage, but the simple principle is that each of us, no matter what we think of the other members of the body, we do need them. And I'll give you an example. Now, I know, and you probably know people, believers who exercise the gift of tongues. Now, I say that because it's maybe a controversial gift. And they do that in their own home. And you're saying, well, how does that help? How does that contribute to the body? And that's exactly what Paul's saying when he says, don't you say as the eye to the foot, I don't need you. Because God has gifted that person in a way and they express that gift in a way that's different to the way that you express your gift, doesn't mean that the way that they express that gift is not needed. Who are you to even say such a thing? How arrogant is that? God places every believer and their gifts in this body, and each of us, even if it doesn't look like we need that gift and the way that that gift is expressed, it doesn't look like we need that, God says we do. So who are we to argue? We need that person, and that person needs us, and we need that gift as that person needs the gifts that we have. Paul says in 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. As part of the body, it's not our right to say what gifts we think are needed in this body. Remember, it's the sovereign God who imparts the gifts and the manifestations of those gifts. It's not the question for the body to ask or to discern which gifts it thinks are best for itself. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Finally, as we finish up, diversity in the body is such a beautiful and wonderful thing, and it helps the church fulfill the will and the purposes that God has. Unless we have that great diversity in the gifts and in the way that the body expresses itself, we're useless. In fact, if we don't, we cripple ourselves. And there's no failure with God in that. God's distributed the gifts to each and every member here perfectly. But it's our responsibility to take those up and to express those gifts and to use those gifts in this place. This week I was sitting at work, and I'll finish up with this. This week I had a tremendous sinus pain. I'm sitting at my desk at work. I'm doing these ones, you know. And we've all been there. And I had a massive headache. And my head says to me, hey, you know what? Light bulb. Why don't you walk across the road and get some Panadol? So in submission to my head, my legs got me up out of my seat. My hands opened my door. And I walked through my office with the guidance of my eyes. I walked out through my door, all the while my head's making subtle decisions about which direction and which way to go. I walk across the road. I see Panadol and Nurofen. Which one am I going to go? My head says, well, you can't take ibuprofen. You've got to take paracetamol. So another important decision, and then take that. I go to the counter. My mouth makes pleasant conversation with the cashier as I pay, and then my head navigates me back to my office, where my hands open up those little pop things, and I take out my pills. My mouth graciously opens itself up. And allows me to swallow my pills, which then go down into my stomach. And thankfully, my stomach has the ability to break down those pills and take out the active ingredients. And my vascular system absorbs that. Those active ingredients get it to the place that it needs to be, so that by the time I'd finished writing that, my pain had gone. Now, it's a very simple thing and such a simple task, right? But consider this. My whole body was in pain and suffered when one member of my body was suffering. And my whole body reacted to that. And Paul gave that picture, right? Could I have accomplished that very simple task? Could I have done that without my legs? Possibly. People get around in wheelchairs. Could I have done it without my arms? Yeah, possibly. It would have been difficult, but I would have been able to do it. What about my mouth? Maybe, I'm not sure. You could probably find some other place to put those pills, I'm not sure. Could I have done it without my stomach? No. It would have been impossible without my stomach to digest and get that paracetamol in my body, and certainly without my vascular system it wouldn't have got there, right? It would have been impossible. And without my nervous system, I wouldn't have even known that I had a problem. And all the time, through that whole simple thing, if my body hadn't been in submission to my head, I would have been all over the place, right? My legs going this way, arms going that way, heads going this way. Unless we're in submission to the head, Jesus, then there would have been anarchy. And that's why it's important, as the body of Christ, that we are listening. And that's where we get back to the start of our message today. Listening to God. Allowing him to speak to us as individuals. This whole complex coordination of the body is God's work. All we need to do as individuals is listen to him and use and exercise the gifts that God has given us. In conclusion, remember we talked about freedom the other week? The body is the expression, a beautiful expression of that freedom. Each believer is different. Each is gifted differently. God has deliberately constructed and is constructing this body here to be wonderfully diverse, fundamentally and individually unique, every single believer. There's no uniformity here. We are not to look the same, act the same, express ourselves the same, believe the same, or practice the same. The wonderful and beautiful expression of God in the church is great diversity and yet harmony. The world, and grasp this thought, the world is supposed to look in on us and wonder and exclaim, how do they do that? How is there such great difference and diversity and yet they love one another and they get on? And the answer is because we love Jesus and we're in submission and love and acceptance of one another because of him. That's the wonder of the church. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this body here. Just I pray, Father, that, Lord, that we would take up the challenge to listen, to allow you to exercise your gifts through us, Father, so that your body may be built up here, so that, Lord, you can reach this world and, Father, you may be glorified ultimately. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.